This is a Crowd podcast.
Alan Hansen, match of the day and Liverpool legend. 620 appearances for Liverpool, where he won the lot. Has sat next to Mark Lawrence and longer than anyone in human history. Plus, author with a penchant for dodgy literary tie-ins. But let's see what the book club thought of one of these 2009's Alan Hansen's strangest football injuries in. Are we really going to read this? Fine. In this week's Football Book Club.
But why is Andy Gorham's bite poisonous?
All right, you guys fancy a bit of toppling later? Yeah, let's have a little topple.
I will always reward balls.
Hello and welcome to Football Book Club, the only book club where, instead of literary classics, each week we read another footballer's autobiography. Less Douglas Adams, more Tony Adams. And thanks to South Standrew on Instagram for that one. Jackie, look impressed.
I like that one.
Never got that one before.
I know. I'm disappointed. But
they're both from North London. It works.
True. I'm James Bug, and over the weeks we're reading classics such as Mickey Adams's My Life in Football and the complete cassettes of Alan Shearer's My Story So Far.
We're not doing that.
But today we're reading 2009's Alan Hansen Cash-In, Alan Hansen's Strangest Football Injuries, and reading with me are Jack Bernhardt.
Hello.
Natasha Daniels.
Hello.
And James Balgen.
Hello.
How are we all doing? All good?
Good, thanks. Why did you make us read this book?
I am extremely grumpy. I'm an angry, grumpy man.
I'm glad you brought it up, and I'm glad you gave me a little insight into what you think about it, because I'm fascinated by these kind of books. I love these kind of cynical stocking fillers, because I always kind of wonder who... Yeah, they're fascinating. I always wonder who buys them, and then I remember that I have loads of them, and it's my family and friends who buy them. So I'm guessing we've all had some things like this, right? Did you guys any of these kind of books growing up?
As a girl, even if you like football, you never really get given these. But the closest thing that I was given as a kid was Steps had a VHS of their best recipes. And someone once bought me that, and Claire from Steps taught me how to make carbonara, and I still make it in the way that Claire taught me. So yeah.
No. That is just people from Steps like throwing darts at a board going,
yeah,
let's get Steps to tell us their favourite thonk recipes. Yeah. Sure, cool.
Well, it's going to the girls. We'll teach them to cook, you know?
Did H and Lee Latchford-Evans pop up in it as well, or was it just the girls?
They did. And do you know what? I have just remembered it wasn't just cooking. Half of them did cooking, but Lee Latchford-Evans taught you how to walk on a tightrope.
What was this?
Right, we're reading this book next week. It sounds incredible.
I would like to know who is there going like, I need a book that can teach me how to make a carbonara. But also, yeah. I am a trapeze artist.
moving away from Steps, James, Jack, you must have had some books or videos and stuff like this.
I mean, I had the old, like the Danny Baker ones, you know, the Danny Baker VHSs.
Yeah, where he's kind of like... Just, pulling his hair out on the front cover.
Yeah, I can't believe the goalkeeper's done that. Yeah, Nick Hancock.
Yeah, so Nick Hancock's football nightmares, one of them, which was probably maybe even worse than this book.
That was terrible. Well, I mean, the important thing about those things that were like DVDs or videos is that they are like, you can see the funny things happen.
Yes.
The crucial thing about this book is that they are described to you in a very boring way.
Hey,
it's almost like this book is like the novelization of one of those VHSs. It's amazing.
I had a DVD called Danny Dyer's Football Foul-Ups, and I would love to read.
Nice.
It would have been a lot of core blimey is Sammy Upia falling down the apples and pears, or I don't know what they
look
say.
Look at this mug.
But Alan Hansen has made loads of these kind of spin-off things. So I've got a list, of every single Alan Hansen cash-in down here, if you want to hear them. Alan Hansen's soccer quiz book from 1993. Six of the best, from the greatest players to the greatest matches. Hansen makes his choice. Then there's the VHSs, the Entertainers series, of which, there's about 50 of them. Alan Hansen's Guide to Fantasy Football, 94-95. High, Wide and Hansen, which I guess is very much in the frame of Danny Baker and Nick Hancock. The FA Premier League Interactive Super Quiz 2007 with Alan Hansen.
Oh no, that sounds like one of those ones that you got. Do you remember those... quizzes you used to get free with Cocoa Pops.
Yes, I was going to say the same thing. Yeah.
And you're like, I'm not gonna go to my computer to put in a CD-ROM. I'm eating Cocoa Pops.
Yeah, like a dusty CD-ROM that loose in the back of the Cocoa Pops.
So weird.
And then finally, I mean, the list goes on, but I've also got Alan Hansen's Sports Challenge on Wii and PS2. Imagine that. They were still making that.
Do you know
that.
What? This man is possibly the most prolific author we've ever read, and I don't believe he's ever written one of these books.
I totally agree. This book, Alan Hansen's Strange Football Injury, is a collection of all the weirdest injuries ever sustained off the pitch. I think you're absolutely right. I don't think he wrote a word of it. I doubt he even knows it exists. I really doubt even it knows it exists.
Is he aware of any of these things? Does he know?
Who did he sell his likeness to in 1992?
Yeah, and why do they not use it anymore? Because I haven't seen Alan Hansen anything in ages. For a man so prolific.
Yeah, the copyright just went out. Yeah.
The copyright on Alan Hansen.
I'm beginning to think, like, even the photos of him in this book are just somebody with an Alan Hansen mask on. Because it's so little to do with him.
But as the book says on the front cover, it's frighteningly funny, in quote marks, with no one attributed to that quote. So let's see if he's right.
It says it's frighteningly funny, yet somebody literally drinks bleach in this book. It's not all laughs. It's not all funny.
Okay, over the show, we're going to go into more depth about the book. We'll have a quiz at the end. Ken's back with another chant, and we'll talk about some very funny football injuries. First, let's see what Amazon is saying about the book. Do you want to hear what it's saying about the book?
Yes. Oh, God. Yeah.
The book has zero ratings from zero reviews. We found one. Oh. We got another one.
Oh, I was really hoping for at least a furious couple of one stars.
No, I'm glad it's been ignored. It deserves ignoring.
That's very true. But Jack, there is always time for you to write your review under your alias of Jag. After everything you said about Karen Brady.
Not as attractive as Karen Brady.
I'd love if it just had one review by Alan Hansen. It was just like, what the hell? I didn't write this.
That's clearly Alan Shearer in a mask.
Here's something interesting, though. We mentioned all those VHSs. How many credits do you think Alan Hansen has on IMDb? James, what's your guess?
He must have loads. He was on telly all the time, wasn't he?
It doesn't include Match of the Day, because then it would be in the thousands, I think.
Yeah, individual episodes for Match of the Day. I don't know. It's got to be like 20.
Okay, that's a good guess. Yeah. Jack? Tash?
I'm going to say 42.
Okay. I'm calling this off. You've all way overshot. It's 15.
It's 15.
But... there's been 12 since 1999, and I checked, that's the same number as Daniel Day-Lewis has had since that. So he's been in all these kind of things, including obviously a star turn in Bend It Like Beckham, which I'm sure we all remember.
Mm-hmm. That was the one thing I had in my head. I was like, yep, there we go. Yeah.
I think him saying the line, feeling hot, 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 is burned in my mind. Because you know, they have that compilation at the end when they get everyone in the cast to sing Feeling Hot. Maybe it didn't have as much of an impact on everyone else. Anyway.
what does he do in that film? I can't remember him.
They just analyse a game of some sort, don't they? It's Gary Lineker. Yeah,
it's a fantasy scene at the start, because she scores a goal.
Yeah.
And then she's celebrating with David Beckham, and then it's like Gary Lineker and Alan Hansen going like, whoa, this player's really good. What do you think? The player's mum, and the player's mum's like, oh, she shouldn't play football because girls doesn't play football.
That sounds right. And also, we should probably stress early on, because I think you can have some strong opinions on this. We're not criticizing Alan Hansen, because he just clearly isn't the author. So
go wild. This book exists.
He doesn't know. He doesn't care. Go wild and crazy. You got free reign.
I just feel like it's kind of cheating to even give it the same sort of analysis that we normally do, because it's not really a book. It's more like a random selection. It's like one of those clickbait articles at the bottom of a BuzzFeed page.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's exactly right.
You'll be shocked by what, Jan Mulby's knee looks like now.
Yeah, exactly.
James, obviously, Alan Hansen, a big Liverpool legend. Did you enjoy the book?
No. Well, some bits of it did. Also, I think it's worth pointing out, some of our friends pop up in this book. I'm not sure if Peter Reid did he?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't think he did. I didn't notice a Peter Reid did,
but Paddy Kenny, Perry Groves, Sean Gutter, and Barry Ferguson all make an appearance.
Yeah.
That's very true. And nice. I think someone... And David Seaman pops up as well.
Yeah, David Seaman's there as well.
Yeah. And they often... Actually, interestingly, they mention a lot of the injuries that we read about in their books. So Paddy's got the Paddy Kenny biting incident at the Curry House. Perry Groves is when he jumps up and hits his head on the...
Yeah.
Supporters bench, isn't it, I think? Which I think was our dramatic reading. I honestly think our dramatic reading that episode was better than this whole book. So that was suffice. Jack, so James and Tash loved it. Jack, do you agree with them? Best book yet?
It's basically, yeah, it's a bunch of Wikipedia articles stitched together, isn't it? There we go.
But not even particularly well stitched together.
No, in many ways, it's not only just a bunch of Wikipedia articles stitched together. It's of Wikipedia articles of like Division 2 players and also like bizarre statistics about deaths that you would find.
It's such
a bizarre book. It's beyond, like, it's genuinely beyond comprehension. I'm not entirely sure we can analyze it. I get a 10 out of 10.
But it could be, the thing is, it could be quite a fun book. It could be fun flicking through like these. So when we got the book, I thought, you know, oh, it'll be in some ways exactly what I knew it would be. I knew it, like Rio Ferdinand twisting his foot and Vassell drilling an ingrowing toenail with a drill. It's like it's 200 pages of pap, but you're right, it does go in some strange directions. And to be honest, I think it sullies the good name Hansen by the end of it. Alan Hansen, he's gone down. Why did he write it? Is he an authority on injuries at all?
I just don't get it. I have absolutely no idea why he wrote this book, because the only thing that it mentions in there is that he got his big break in the 1978 FA Cup final because Tommy Smith got injured or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does that make him an authority on injuries? Well, I had a little theory about this, actually, because I have heard this story before of one man cashing in on someone else's injury to get their big break. And that's pretty much the premise of The Devil Wears Prada, I think you will find.
I thought you were going to bring up Steve Bruce again. But yeah,
that's what I thought.
No. Alan Hansen is Anne Hathaway and Tommy Smith is Emily Blunt at home with the flu.
Nice. Okay, I'm enjoying your alternate readings of these books. It's very hard to find an alternative narrative in this book when there isn't even one narrative. So that is that, I'm impressed. Yeah,
I would say it's the one thing keeping me going at this point. The reason I read this book was basically to find out what film or book Tash would refer it back to.
And if she's got any more recipes from the Steps cookbook.
That's true.
Yeah,
because I've just joined the circus and I need to learn how to cook a stir fry.
Faye's made lovely chow mein.
The Hansen intro is genuinely very weird, because you read this book and as you say, you think it's going to be like, oh, when Canizares dropped a bottle of salad cream on his foot. You know, what a creamy
aftershave,
mistake.
Aftershave, I think you're fine, Jack. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, really? Oh, God. That's me minus 5 points down on the quiz already. But so the intro starts with Alan Hansen. As we say, we have no idea why Alan Hansen's written this book. But as you say, like, it's because Tommy Smith got injured before the FA Cup final with a pickaxe. And so I guess there's a kind of link there, as it, you know, that's kind of a bizarre story. And you think that maybe Alan Hansen is then going to go into like the lighter side of football injuries. The introduction, I would argue, is about six of the most harrowing pages we've ever read on Football Book Club, where it's Alan Hansen basically going into quite a lot of detail about the trauma and the existential like crises that players go into when they get injured. Like, he talks about at Liverpool, he's like, you could never show any weakness. If you said to anyone you were injured, you were a persona non gratis. You were out of the team. You'd never play again. I was forced to play at times I didn't feel comfortable playing. If we couldn't play, they'd shoot us full of cortisone. Those injuries we had for years afterwards. One player got concussed, came back on afterwards. Who knows what kind of injuries that did to him? They treated us like horses, but at the end, they shoot horses in the head. I wish they'd shot us in the head. Anyway, here's a fun story about Rio Ferdinand. Yep. It's remarkable. There's a bit in the introduction where he says
Jack is pointing. Jack's got animated.
So he's gone through all these horrible things. There's a bit where he says, oh, there's a funny story I can tell you with, I think it's Bill Shankly and another player. And I'm like, okay, thank God. A bit of lightness away from this, you know, psychological drama that we're going through here. Because it is a fun story about Bill Shankly. One of the players, they used to have electroshock therapy to help them through this injury. It was basically torture to make sure that you didn't ever want to be injured again. Funny joke. And he says that at one point, Bill Shankly was with Tommy Smith, and Tommy Smith said he was injured, and he was like, oh, I can't feel anything. Turn it up, Bill. Keep turning it up. Turns out Bill hadn't turned the machine on, the electroshock machine on. He realized halfway through, and the setting was like at 12, and then he severely electrocuted Tommy Smith. And Al Hansen's like, that's a good joke as well, isn't it? What is going on? And then Al Hansen's like, there'll be more of this hilarity coming up.
Well, do you think maybe, you know how we're saying he didn't write any of it? Maybe he did write that bit and he was sold that this book was going to be very different.
Yeah, it's going to be like a confession of how difficult it is as a footballer when these things happen.
I completely think that's what happened. I really think he was expecting like every single one of these entries to be like a very harrowing, very sad story. And then maybe there's a much funnier book that Alan Hansen then got the copy for and was like, what? No,
what?
It's supposed to be incredibly moving.
Let's meet halfway.
Put the upsetting government statistics about people being killed by cows. Put them in.
Yeah. Did you notice that Frighteningly Funny comes up in the actual in the opening chapter? He says this is where the bar is set for Frighteningly Funny. There were 22,000 fans in the ground and 22 players. The atmosphere is really tense. But then David Fairclough liked the mover, running up, missing the ball and kicking the corner flag. He was nowhere near the ball, didn't move an inch. Everyone on the pitch was in stitches. It was frighteningly funny. He needed treatment on his toe, but it was okay in the end.
How is that frighteningly funny?
Like, that's that's where they got the pull quote on the cover from. Literally, Alan Hansen says that.
The pull quote.
Alan Hansen says it's frighteningly funny in the book, and that's the quote they've used. Alan Hansen, it's frighteningly funny on Alan Hansen's book. It's crazy.
That is like Inception, isn't it? It's a quote within a quote. That also, if you kick a corner flag and it hits you in the face, like, that is funny. I'll admit that's funny, but at no point am I like genuinely scared by how funny it is.
Doubling over. Oh, I'm never gonna stop. Oh God, stop laughing.
Will I ever stop this laughter? Help me.
But it does kind of ease into after that straight away. Because you're right, it ends, it has all these stories about, you know, Liverpool players being electrocuted and these like medieval circumstances and these. And then the first chapter begins. Number one, you're not stinging anymore, about Julio Arca being stung by a jellyfish. And then that really, really hits its stride by that point.
I would say it does hit its stride. The problem with the book from that point on is I think it kind of then, that tone that Hansen sets up, where
it's
you
stuck
kind
in your
of
mind.
Can't trust anything,
yeah.
is then stuck in your mind forever. To the extent also that each, it's not as if the injuries are not consistent throughout the book. There are some injuries that are incredibly small, like a player hurts their ankle and has to miss a preseason friendly. And you're like, okay, that's not particularly funny. But, you know, it only missed a preseason friendly. That's fine. Another player like injures himself shaving and again has to miss a preseason friendly. Another player gets killed by stampeding pigs. The disparity. It's like every page you turn, like it's either going to be a slight nick of a chin or someone will die.
And or there's just be a bit on someone not even having a funny injury. There's a segment at one point where they're talking about, I think it's Les Ferdinand at Spurs, has some kind of funny injury, and then it just goes, talking to Spurs, Ledley King's injured a lot, isn't he? And that was basically it. It wasn't even an example of that. It's just Ledley King gets injured a lot. But talking of getting off to a strange start in the book, so Alan Hansen's intro was bad enough. However, within my book, and I've sent you some pictures of these, this guy, I had a piece of A4 paper fall out from my copy that I bought somewhere off Amazon, pre-owned, of course. No one's buying this. I'm not funding Alan Hansen to write more of this. I got it pre-owned, and it's bizarre. It's a list of, I don't know enough, one, about medicine, two, drugs, to understand what's going on here. But I've got a list of this person whose book owned it before has written down a breakdown of all the drugs they take at what time and where. And they're not like, you know, necessary medical ones. There's, you know, ketamine's in there, paracetamol, Oxycontin, Laxedo, Pexamethasone,
pregabalin. So what you're saying is we would like a pharmacist to get in touch to tell us if this person is still alive.
I don't know what's going on. It says like 9:30 paracetamol, 10:30,
ketamine,
cocodamol. Yeah, 11:30, ketamine. And then it says,
oh my god,
it's bizarre. It says things like
the rest of the day after 11:30 at ketamine. The rest of the day is a write-up. Do not try and write down the rest of the drugs there.
I was the same. So I sent to a doctor friend, and she went, ketamine. Oh, maybe it's a vet who's written this. And then when paracetamol came out, she was like, nah, it's not a vet. There's a bit where it says breakthrough doses, and I thought that was the end of it.
Oh, are they doing like microdosing?
Maybe that's what it is, but why have you hidden it away in Anne Hansen's book? And then, end of the book, I thought that was all of it.
Because no one will ever open it.
That's possibly true. But I end of the book, I got through that bit fell out, I read a bunch of funny stories out of players. Then he's written in the book more doses that he's got in there.
Yeah, maybe for like a social video this week, we should all try that routine.
Yeah.
We would be dead instantly. Imagine dying for a social video and you take drugs from Football Book Club.
Well, hi guys, we're the Football Book Club, and this week we're microdosing ketamine. I was impressed how Alan Hansen's able to reel off all of these government statistics so easily. it's just off the top of his head. It's a real skill. So, for example, page 20, really early on, I noticed it with Fabio Aurelio, which I'm sure, James, you're interested by, seeing Fabio Aurelio in there. He apparently injured himself with a leisurely kickabout with his son in the garden. His son was called Fabio Jr., by the way, a little fact. So I was reading that, and then all of a sudden, I thought these kind of stories either end with a pun, but this one ended with, the Brazilian is not a lone sufferer of garden-provoked injuries, though. A 1998 survey by the Department of Trade and Industry revealed that 64,000 injuries take place in British gardens every year. And I thought, that's strange. What a strange thing to just add in there.
It's the contrast in like tone, isn't it? It's like,
yeah.
They're just like, oh, some silly footballer jumped up and knocked themselves unconscious. How silly. But seriously, more than 500,000 people in the UK are knocked unconscious every year. Like, what? But
I thought that'd be a one-off. And then page 49, Peter Beegree drives in a quite crazy incident, drives his motorbike through a hotel window. it was a little bit more dangerous. In 2002, the UK national estimate for accidents while on holiday overseas was 480,664, with more than 5,000 of them being fatal.
The government statistics, in a way, are fine, but suddenly saying 5,000 people are dead, that's going to kill the mood stronger, isn't it? It
really does.
I just realised something as well. The book is called Alan Hansen's Strangest Football Injuries. Not many of these are football injuries. They're just injuries that happen to footballers.
That is true. That is a good point. Some of them
aren't even injuries.
Some of them are deaths.
Some of them aren't footballers. There's literally a bit where, honestly, it's true. There's a bit where he just brings up some horrible real life injury where some girl... Jack, I'll let you go on this because I can see you really want to talk about microwave egg girl.
I have because this is the weirdest. I mean, okay, sorry. I need to gather my thoughts. I just need to. In this book about funniest football injuries, there is a random segue where Alan Hansen talks about a girl who put an egg in the microwave. The girl took the egg out of the microwave and it then exploded all over her, causing her horrible burns.
Yep. It's awful.
Why? 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 I need to know why, Alan.
It's literally because Aidan Davison, a Grimsby goalkeeper, was hit by a hard-boiled egg during a second division match. That's how he relates it into that. It's such a segue. Such a leap.
I reckon Alan Hansen saw that story about Egg Girl and was like, I'm keeping that. He saw that years ago. Years ago, he saw a story about Egg Girl. And then as soon as they mentioned the idea of this book, he was like, brilliant. This is a chance for me to finally talk about Egg Girl.
Finally, I can relate it to injuries by Florence Cinema upon goal. I can't. Brilliant. It's not just that. It's these statistics are just, they're crazy. There's a story about Thomas Myra, the old Everton keeper, in the shower, and he's like, according to 2008 studies, children are at most danger in the shower, with 15 people injured every day doing it. Like, he's like Opta Joe meets Casualty. It's so strange. Like, whose job was it to find these things?
I know, and who this is like pre-internet as well. This would have been a real slog.
Well, no, it wasn't. It was 2009. This book was 2009. Yeah,
this book came out 2009.
Exactly.
What?
It's way later than you think. This book
came out.
You
are joking me.
This book came out after No Country for Old Men was released. It's really.
What? It has a very like 1997 aura about it.
You could excuse it if it came out in the 90s. You could excuse this book somewhat, but the fact that it came out in 2009 is like, what the hell was going on? Who let this happen?
I'm genuinely surprised that No Country for Old Men came out before this book, and that the injuries in No Country for Old Men are not in this book. One unfortunate lad got shot in the head with a cattle gun.
Okay, this week, instead of out of context on the show, we're going to do our favourite injuries from the book. So I've asked you all to bring your favourite injury from the book. Jack, let's kick off with you. What's your favourite injury from Alan Hansen's Strangest Football Injuries?
Oh, my favourite injury is Alex Stepney in August 1975, which is quite, you know, usually far beyond what we usually do in these books.
Yeah.
But it says, Manchester United's former goalkeeper, who signed for the club in 1966 after only 3 months at Chelsea, managed to dislocate his jaw while shouting at defenders during a game against Birmingham City. He went down holding his face with nobody around him in a minute into the second half. He later revealed, "I just shouted for the ball when my jaw clicked and left me in agony. It was ridiculous."
See, that's the kind of stuff I wish this book was packed with.
That was the bit. That was the one bit of the book I've written in my notes, which is in my notes it just says, okay, that one is funny.
Frighteningly funny? Frighteningly funny?
Yeah. No. I would say it's like, it's quite comfortingly funny, because it's like, oh, what a silly accident.
There's another one that's funny. Two are funny. That one is funny, but also, objectively, this is funny. Gary Naismith falls down a manhole. That is funny.
That sounds like a dramatic reading title. That sounds like a dramatic reading title.
It's like Looney Tunes. Yeah, it does sound like a dramatic.
The problem is that what you've just said is funny, but in the book, I don't think it is funny. I think the sentence "Gary Naismith has fallen down a manhole" is funny, but any kind of detail they give, which usually is like, manholes are responsible for over a million deaths in the UK alone. Like, then you're like, okay, that's not funny, is it? The image of Gary Naismith
is responsible for 4,000 deaths in the UK every single year.
Alan Hansen's most harrowing injuries, it should be called.
It should be called that.
Tash, you got your favourite injury?
Yeah. Do you guys know what jellyfishing is? Have you ever heard of jellyfishing?
Is it a sex thing?
No. It's where you say something that's really nice about someone, but then you finish it off with something really horrible because it's like a sting. Right?
You mentioned this on the podcast. You mentioned this before on the podcast.
Well, Alan Hansen manages to jellyfish someone while talking about jellyfish. It's jellyfish squared, because he says, it's about Julio Orca, and he says he was stung by a Portuguese man-o-war while swimming in the North Sea. He must have been so strong and brave, severe reactions can cause death, and he came out of it alive. But then he ends that bit with, he made his full recovery just in time to be relegated with Sunderland from the Premier League and then from the Championship with Middlesbrough.
He gets him twice. Two that? Relegations. I totally agree. That bit was so straight.
That was very, very funny. Like, just don't say that.
Just let him have it. Just let him be brave because he survived a Portuguese man of war. Like
that, and that's all after like Mick McCarthy saying like, I was going to wee on him, but
on
I didn't.
Yeah.
Julio Arca is the only footballer I have in my phone. He's the only footballer whose number I have.
Oh wow!
So maybe ask him if he has anything to say about this. This sting.
Did he piss on your foot? Did Mick McCarthy piss on your foot? Just leave him a voice note. That's that.
My favourite one was Alex Kalinka, who's I think a goalkeeper at Palace, or he's at Palace in some way, and he laughs. they're playing Bradford City, and he laughs when Bradford score. So Trevor Francis, the manager, punches him on the nose. Just hits him in the dugout. And he goes, afterwards, Klinko says, "I was not laughing in the dugout. The manager punched me on the nose. I have not been given an explanation as to why he did it. My nose is very sore and bruised."
Again, that is one of the few ones where the actual explanation is funnier than just saying Because the idea of Ajax Kalinko rubbing his nose and saying, "My nose is sore and bruised," is very funny. Frighteningly so.
There was another one there, which wasn't even in the book. There's a guy called Chick Brody he brings up on page 71.
I made the note of this as well, because it's not funny, but it's crazy.
It's fascinating. This is under a section called Bad Animals, where he talks about you know, people getting hit by moose and things like that. Yeah, he talks about Chick Brody, who was playing for Brentford. And he talks about how he collided with a dog on the pitch and he suffered injuries that he never recovered from playing football, which is quite sad.
It's very sad.
But then he says, given the number of curious injuries Brody suffered during his career, which included a hand grenade being thrown into the goal mouth, and he doesn't go into depth on what that story is. That is an incredible story in the immediately, which he doesn't go into. So I Googled it, and I found out about Chick Brody, and this is true. He played in the game against Millwall. Of course it's Millwall. The dead shell of a hand grenade was thrown onto the pitch behind the goal mouth at Griffin Park on Saturday during Brentford's game against Millwall. B's goalie Chick Brody picked up the grenade from the pitch and threw it into the back of the net, where PC O'Connell saw it. The policeman, not knowing the grenade to be a dead one, put it in a bucket of sand and took it to Brentford Police Station, where it was identified as a dead United States pineapple type. Great, cool. Didn't have to like put it in like a lineup of some sort against other grenades. But yeah, it's bizarre. That's a better story. It's a miles better. It's not really an injury, but it's a miles better. Actually, yeah, it's not an injury at all, but it's a miles better story than
that's a good dramatic reading, actually.
Yeah.
Would have been. Should have done that this week.
We should have gone outside of the book for the dramatic reading. We're that's outsourcing our dramatic readings because the books aren't good enough.
And we'll be back after the break with yet more of Alan Hansen's silly football injuries.
Hello. Hello there. What voice do you want me to do? We'll do a little bit. I'll just do my voice.
Do your voice.
Yeah, thanks.
Hello, I'm Joe Marler. People think I hate people, but I don't.
I actually love interaction with people.
I love finding out what jobs they do and whether I could do what they do. The Joe Marler Show.
Joe Marler Show.
With new episodes every Wednesday.
Welcome back to Football Book Club, where we are reading Alan Hansen's strangest football injuries, and we're going to go right back in with some nice pictures. Tash, lead us through them.
Yes, well, mercifully, every other page in this book is a full page image.
It's a very quick book to get through.
Yeah.
God, I love that.
Yeah. Oh. More of that, please.
And I watched Memento last night, right? And thanks to reading this book, I really understand it, because reading this book made me feel like maybe I had some sort of mild brain injury where I kind of understand the world, but I need photographs to piece it together. And this book really helped me get what he was going for.
Especially because it's written backwards as well, which is such a strange choice.
But the most fun, I think, kind of comes from when the text pages get the addition of little images to illustrate them. And my personal favourite one here was, there's a page about Gazza pulling a muscle getting out of bed, and accompanying it is a photograph that looks like it's from a crime scene of two twin beds pushed together as if they're in a hotel and you haven't like told them that you want to get down and dirty that weekend, so you've pushed them together. And the caption is, "A bed yesterday. A danger to footballers." Like, what the hell is going on in this book? It's so weird.
That sounds like a poem.
Yeah, I know.
A bed yesterday. A danger to footballers.
It is all royalty-free stuff or pictures that just don't make any sense out of context.
Yeah, I think like someone's taken it on an iPhone and gone, "We need an image. We've got no budget left. I'm going to take a picture of a bed in the travelodge that they've put us up in," or something like that. It's so weird. I did have a look at the art director, and he is still gainfully employed somehow. So well done to Jamie Dunmore for keeping his job.
Did not expect art director Jamie Dunmore to come up in there.
Do you know what? Let's call him out.
I actually really enjoy the photographs. They were my favourite bit of this book, which is saying something.
It's useful that they get pictures of like an egg, just in case you forget what eggs look like, or like a Sky remote when someone hurts their foot.
This book is so weird that I didn't realise until today that picture of him on the front, that it's a boot. I thought it was Wolverine's adamantium.
Yeah, it does look like that. It looks like Freddy. He looks like Freddy Krueger. He's got Freddy Krueger hands. He looks like Freddy Krueger.
Yeah. And I didn't question it at all. I was like, yeah, that makes sense within the context of this book.
And then
today I was like, oh, it's the boot. That's what it is.
The front cover is so lazy. It is just like, they've just gone, oh, what are things in the book? There's a moose. There's a boot. There's a shovel. Okay, Alan Hansen's there as well. Like, no one has realistically thought about what's in this book.
On the back is a kettle and microwave. It's like, what was that? What is it? The Generation Game. You could play that with this cover.
You want a wiggly man. I thought it was a very brave choice editorial, though, to have a picture of a horribly burned 9-year-old girl on the back. I thought that was
Look, it lets you know what this book is about.
To be honest, Jamie Dunmore and everyone else, anyone who profited off this, fair play to them.
I think of everyone in this book, you guys deserved your payday because you had to put the graft in here. Everyone,
yeah, sure,
Alan Hansen phoned it right in.
Round of applause for the art directors on the book. And that was a beautiful guide to the Alan Hansen's Strange Double Injuries picture section. Thank you very much, Tash.
Very welcome.
One thing that I noticed about this book is, despite how bad it is overall, I actually did learn some things about football and just general things I learned about. So,
how long to microwave an egg?
How many people get concussion each year?
That's one of them. But stranger things, like Andy Gorham has a poisonous bite. That was a thing I learned.
So, yes, I didn't get that.
There's so little explanation for this too. So like, there's like the lack of context makes it really confusing. So it says Andy Gorham bit Petrich on the elbow after coming to collect a cross. It doesn't actually then tell you any more about it. Like, what they say that, like, that's like a regular occurrence. As if you like go to your GP and be like, with a cut on your elbow, and the doctor's like, oh, goalkeeper bite you, did he? Like, I'm assuming they meant he collided with his tooth, his elbow hit his tooth, but they don't actually say that. But then
I like the idea that there are some goalkeepers that aren't poisonous and you can tell from their marker.
From their colorings on the shirt. Yeah.
But why is Andy Gorham's bite poisonous?
I don't know. Why is it poisonous?
It's like he's Cujo or something, like some rabid animal foaming at the mouth. Like, they don't go into any more detail. They just tell you this happened.
I assumed that, and this isn't under, because I was as perplexed as you were, but I'm assuming that it basically means that he didn't treat the wound and he got affected. Yeah, that's it.
The
right?
Way they write it though, like, oh yeah, the bite was poisonous.
Yeah, like he's a vampire of some sort.
He's not
a
snake. Like, he's got infected. It's fine. Just put a bit of cream on it. Another thing I learned was that there's an English beach football team. I had no idea that was a thing.
That was interesting.
No.
I know that Cantona played for the French beach football team after he retired.
That makes more sense, though. An English football team just seems... I want to know when they train, where they train, where they play. Like,
can I join?
How do they do this? They'll be getting injuries just from, like, standing on glass or kicking stones.
What else did you learn, James? Sorry.
Iron Maiden have an 11-a-side team. That was weird.
Yes, that's true.
What the hell is going on there?
Yeah, I mean, Black Sabbath will make sense because they invited Andy Gray to play, as we saw before, but yeah.
How many members are there in Iron Maiden?
I think there are five or six. One of them actually lives near me, lives like 5 minutes away. And does Gary Pallister pop up in this book? Because Gary Pallister and the guitarist from Iron Maiden are always in a pub in Yarm on a Saturday night, usually.
Together?
Just do it all in one, because I ask more questions. Sometimes they're together. Sometimes they are. I remember once this is like just not related to any of this, sorry, but just while speaking about the Iron Maiden guitarist, one time we were out in that pub and one of the lads that we were with said, seen that guy over there, thinks he's in a rock band or something. He's like, yeah, he's in Iron Maiden, mate. He's doing all right.
I'm fascinated. When did this podcast become James Bowden name drops?
I love it.
I learned something new in this book as well. I didn't know what toppling was. I'd never heard this phrase. Les Ferdinand was ruled out. Jack again's animated and excited by it. Just like Burnt Egg Girl.
No, you have to explain what toppling is, because I thought I was losing my mind.
So Les Ferdinand's ruled out for the rest of the season in April 2002 after breaking his wrist in a freak accident at home. I was just messing about home and toppled over, and my wrist took the weight and he hurt himself. This is just before Ledley King pops up, of course, for no injuries, just because he played for Tottenham and gets hurt a lot. His misfortune at home could be attributed to a recent phenomenon known as toppling, it says in quote marks. Toppling is defined as falling over from top heaviness or lack of support. He probably succumbed to this occurrence due to his upper body strength. Renowned as a striker blessed with upper mobility, facing Ferdinand was a frightening prospect for any defender in the mid Premier League at his peak during the mid 1990s. Toppling.
That's just falling over.
Also, this book has not been diagnosing people. That's, I don't know when Alan Hansen decided he was a doctor. Yep, that's toppling you're suffering from, Les.
But I feel like that body shape was very 90s, so I understand what he's saying. You know, you don't see many men skipping leg day these days. You know, they kind of balance it out. Whereas back in the 90s, it was very Johnny Bravo. You know?
That's a good point. I kind of imagine like those Weeble men. Is it Weeble men? Like just falling
upside
back
down
and forth.
Weeble men. Yeah.
Oh, they definitely should have named it Upside Down Weeble Men disease. I just, a bit, like, the way he says, like, a new phenomenon known as toppling, as if it's like planking, these things that kids are all doing now. All right, you guys fancy a bit of toppling later? Yeah, let's have a little topple.
So did we think overall the book reached a satisfying conclusion?
Was there a conclusion?
Yeah. It didn't even get started. There was nothing to conclude.
It literally just ends the book. There is no like, well, that was it. I'm Alan Hansen. Thank you for listening to that. I think it ends on some story where Alan Wright injures himself in a Ferrari or something because he's got his feet up in a strange way. And then, yeah, the book's just
and
over.
And then very That's optimistically, it. The people who made this book end it with a double page spread of their other books as if you're going to finish it and go, do you know what I want to do now? I want to read 8 more of them. I want to read EFC Kits, The Complete Guide to the Strips Worn by Everton.
Yeah, they really do. These guys, honestly, man, whatever that guy's name was again, the art director is killing.
I respect on these guys. They are rinsing it and I love it.
The end of that of this book is genuinely like, you know, YouTube links where it's like, if you enjoyed that, click on this. Except you can't click on it. You just have to look at it and go, yeah. Oh, maybe I'll order that in 6 to 8 weeks. Good.
Yeah,
thanks.
But you know, work smarter, not harder. Like they've put it there for you, ready to go. I love it.
And let's be honest, guys, we'll be reading EFC Kits next season.
Next week on the show, yeah. I've ordered it already. Actually, there is one thing towards the end of the book, a chapter at the end, which was weirdly topical, which I thought when reading it, about swine flu. When I read it, I was like, oh, hang on, this is all very strange. And
foreshadowing.
Yeah, very much so.
I found it a bit creepy.
It's kind of annoying that they were moaning about swine flu, though, and it's like, oh, don't you even.
Yeah. Because there's they talk about Micah Richards getting it in a hotel, and then he says, I'll get some stick from the lads when I do return. They'll probably all turn up to training in surgical masks, having seen me in one. He's like,
Weird. Very weird.
He's like, yeah. Like, do you remember when everyone was ridiculing Naomi Campbell for cleaning the plane last February? He's the Naomi Campbell of football. He saw it coming.
12 years ahead.
I like the idea that Micah Richards is there thinking, God, okay, you guys can chill out. This joke's been going on for long enough, guys. Okay. Wow. You somehow got every single person in the world wearing a surgical mask? All right, chill out.
But exactly, and there's bits like where the British beach football team, which is what you mentioned earlier, get kicked out of the Nations Cup in Austria because they were worried they're going to contaminate other teams. And everything is, we were like, oh yeah, as if that would possibly be the case. All the way through it. And it is very much like, oh yeah, as if pandemics or anything. They say, at one point, they tell the Russian fans to avoid contracting, to not go to Wales, not to do intense shouting or shake hands at some point, just in case it might spread this stupid disease. And literally, these are all things that we're being told 12 years later. It was spooky reading it. It was spooky. Very strange.
It was very weird. I didn't like it. I didn't
know. Isn't there an image with someone with a surgical mask photoshopped?
Micah Richards.
Well?
They photoshop onto
Micah Richards.
Yeah. It's weird. I didn't like it.
It's unsettling. I can't quite figure. It can't. Yeah. Oh. Not that. That was the bit of the book that was frightening.
Yeah.
And then there was one other bit of the book that was funny.
That was frightening.
It was meant to say it's frightening and funny. And that's funny. What it's meant to say on the front.
It's frightening, Lee. Funny. It was talking to a guy called Lee. It's talking to Lee Sharp. This book is addressed to Lee Sharp.
Did this book change you? Rating out of 10. I'm guessing I'm gonna have to bust out the calculator because there's some high scores, I think. So let's start with Tash. Out of 10.
I'm going to give it a 4, purely for the art direction.
Wow.
Okay, wow. The art direction saved the book.
Yeah.
Wow.
I enjoyed it.
A lot higher than I thought it was going to be. You enjoyed the art direction.
The text gets 0 points, nil qua. Okay. The art direction gets 8, so balanced out, that's a 4.
Wow, it's just very... The art direction gets 8.
I loved it. It was like, you know, crap, but...
People are going to buy this book thinking like, oh, this should be hanging, you know, in the Tate somewhere. But it really was just like funny clip art, basically.
Yeah.
Jack, what's your score?
Can I give minus points?
It's going to test my maths, but yep.
No, I got to give it one.
If you want to go minus, go minus.
No, you know what? It was quantifiably a book and there was a book in it. So it has to get some point. It's one of the worst things I've ever read. I hate it.
Great. Alan.
I'm genuinely quite angry that you made up like this.
Apologies. We'll wait till we do EFC kits next week. James, it's score out of 10.
I would have given it a 1, but the brevity of it bumped it up to a 2. I enjoyed how short it was. It was so fun. It was just some sentences, and that was refreshing. So I'll give it a 2.
Weirdly, I think the brevity made me more angry.
Yeah.
It was like, well, what is the point of this?
I wanted like a complete like coffee table guide of something, and it just didn't give that. I'm going 2 as well. So remarkably, it's our first book ever to finish in single figures. It's got 9 out of 10, so that's 2.25. That is Steve Bruce is jumping for joy. You go, yes, someone's taken the top bottom spot from me. There we go, 2.25. And to be honest, that's generous. It's only because Tash has bumped it up.
It is generous, I know.
So Tash bumped it up really high because she has this weird fetish for clip art. Oh, a picture of a Sky remote. 10 out of 10.
Yeah, I love it. I just love the audacity of making this book and selling it for actual money. Love it.
It's very true. Very true. Well, fair play to all.
I will always reward balls.
I think we know what's going to be the intro line for Tash now in this episode.
I will always reward balls.
Do, 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 do.
Okay, for the quiz this week, you're all named after unusual objects that have injured people in the book. Jack, you're a loose moose. Tash, you're derived for sales power drill. And James, you're a piping hot microwave egg. Very sad, 9-year-old got injured. Number one, who was lying in a bed? Question one, who was lying in a bed which Brian Robson tried to lift, ruling Brian out for a game in Italia 90? He's come up already
loose
in the show.
Moose.
Loose moose. Jack?
Was it Gazza?
Gazza was lying in that bed and got injured. Yeah. He also did injure himself trying to get out of bed, but yep, that is correct.
Dropped
1 point for the loose moose.
Yes.
Very good, Lucy. So, number two, what is Steve Koppel describing here? It is not an injury that should be ridiculed or made light of.
I remember this as well.
What is he describing?
God.
I'll give you a clue. It features a former Reading player who we've sung about on the show before. I love it when you call me.
Oh, Leroy Lita.
Is correct.
What did he do?
Well, I can't give any points. Enough. I'll give Tash half a point for getting Leroy Lita. He overstretched in bed is the answer. That was number three. What board game was PSG goalkeeper Lionel Letizia playing when he strained his back trying to pick up a piece?
Loose Moose?
Let's hear it.
Was it Monopoly?
Nope, it wasn't Monopoly. Egg or Derives for Sales Power Drill. Basically,
Drill. I'm gonna have a guess. Cluedo.
Isn't correct. It falls to you. Falls to you. Microwave egg.
Was it Connect Four?
Isn't correct. It's Scrabble. All funny suggestions. It's Scrabble. Question number four.
Scrabble?
Where was Steve? I know.
Yeah, there's some dignity to being injured by Connect Four.
Yeah.
Scrabble.
Well, if you'd done it by Cluedo, you could be like, oh, yeah, it was a revolver.
Yeah, true. Yeah. Very good point.
Rob Green, Professor Green, yeah. Shot me in the billiard room with a revolver.
Question number four. Where was Steve Lomas doing a lot of walking when he aggravated a shin problem?
Oh, egg, boiling egg.
Yep, fair enough. What is it?
Disneyland.
Disneyland is correct. One point to Mr. Microwave Egg. And finally, question six. How many people in the UK are knocked unconscious every single year?
Oh,
it's half a million. Oh, yeah. Device for sale.
Okay. What is it, Tash?
Half a million.
It's over half a million. You're right. That is correct. So, Tash, you've won it with 1.5 points. 1.5 points. Won it for you. Have you ever won one before, Device for Sale's Power Drill? There we go.
No.
What a time. Well, as your prize, it's time for this week's Ken Zong. Are you excited by that?
Oh, I am buzzing for this. Bazong, should I say?
good catchphrase, Bazong. As we know, every week Ken Zong writes us a new chant.
Hold on a sec, because I actually got an email off someone called Lolana Del Rey. And they sent me a recording and they sent me a message saying, Ken Zong is great. This is just to keep him on his toes so he keeps producing the goods. Yours, Lolana Del Rey, kiss, kiss. So I had a listen to it. And it's a cover of Lana Del Rey National Anthem, but with the lyrics changed, so it's about a certain footballer. That's all.
Wow,
I can say, really.
This is very unorthodox, but you know what? I'll let it happen. I'll let this play on.
Poor Ken.
I'm glad you said that, because that would have been annoying.
Yeah. Actually, I'm going off from Ken. I'm going to do that instead. Sorry. Let's hear
Shut it down.
Let's hear Lana Del Rey's take on National Anthem.
Defending is the key to success. So before we go out, will your tackles impress? It's Alan Hansen, God, he's so handsome. Clean sheets at Anfield and all around the world. He loves to jump and reckless abandon, holding me for free kicks and corners as well. He defends real close, he's got it down, yeah. Wind in his hair, hand in the back of your neck. I said, beat me 1-1. He said yes.
Your love, Alan Hansen.
Yeah, baby, bow down, throw your body down now.
Your love, Alan Hansen.
Sugar, sugar, how now? Tackle from behind now.
Red, white, red is in the sky. Alan's in the air and the mud is in your eyes. Your love, Alan Hansen.
Defending is the reason he exists. Everybody knows it, it's a fat kick kick.
It's absolutely brilliant.
Incredible.
Unbelievable.
Oh my God, I love it.
The longest and possibly best Ken Zong we've ever had. Well, not Ken Zong.
It's just to keep him. It's just to keep him on his
keep
toes.
James, can I ask an important question? Is Lolana Del Rey you?
I can't confirm or deny that.
Very topical song though. I'm very impressed.
I showed that to my dad earlier and he went, were you meant to be that close to the microphone? I was like, yeah. He went, all right, just walked away. So that was the feedback.
If you've read Alan Hansen's book or any book we've read on the show, or any of these weird football spin-offy things, get in touch with us about it. Get in touch about anything. We'd love to hear from you. You can find us on Twitter at Footy Book Club, Instagram at Football Book Club, and we're on Facebook. Plus, we've got our brand new email address, fbc@crowdnetwork.co.uk. Please get in touch with us about some Andy Crabb stories. If you don't remember Andy Crabb, we talked about him in the last wider reading with Tom Fordyce. He's our made-up footballer from the 90s and noughties. We're writing his autobiography, and we want you to tell us all the stories about him that you want to see happen in that autobiography. There's some great things in there already, and we can't wait for some more. So email us that or DM us on social media. All good. Also, we're edging close to the Michael Owen trilogy, guys. How are you feeling about that?
Oh, God. Feel nervous. I genuinely feel quite nervous. The idea
have you all got the books?
Owen.
Have you all got the books?
They're sitting on my shelf. They're a rather large pile.
I already had one of them, and it's a huge hardback. I'm not looking forward to it.
It's going to be something. I think it's going to be an absolute treat. Next week on the podcast, we'll be reading Dean Windass's Dino with journalist and host of Not the Top 20 podcast, George Ellick. But for now, guys, thanks for everything today. You've been brilliant. Any last words?
Over 50 million people a year are killed by last words.
Thank you very much, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Football Book Club. It featured James Bug, Natasha Daniels, Jack Bernhardt, and James Balgen. It was created by James Bug, and it was a crowd production. Thanks to Alan, or whoever did write it, for writing the book. But where are they all now? Well, Alan Hansen has since left Match of the Day and sadly hasn't added to his IMDb credits in a while. Come back, Alan. Just please not with strangers' football injuries, too. Les Ferdinand is now director of football at QPR and, to our knowledge, hasn't suffered from any further cases of toppling. Julio Arca will not respond to our calls asking if Mick McCarthy urinated on him. And Cooking with Steps is surprisingly difficult to track down. What a tragedy. The music, Hills Behind, is the work of Silent Partner, and Lobby Time is the work of Kevin MacLeod, and both are used in a Creative Commons 4.0 license. We'll be back next week with Dean Windass's Dino, featuring journalist, broadcaster, and not the top 20 podcast, George Ellick. See you then. Bye-bye.
Crowd Network, a place where you belong.